Today, in just a moment, we will honor the young people in our community who are crossing the threshold into young adulthood. And when we dedicate our children to in our community, we use a flower as a symbol of the unfolding beauty of each individual, of the fragile quality of life, and of the need for nurturing. As a community, we work together to help these young people cultivate deep roots from which to create a life path based on the continual and individual search for truth and meaning. Today, we celebrate the bridging into adulthood of three bridging youth, Maddie Miller, Ben Thiel, and Lily Chudikoff. We are honored to have been a part of their growing up journey, and we are excited and proud to usher them over the bridge into young adulthood. In a minute, we'll hear from Lily. And Ben has chosen to share through a written statement, and I'm going to read it for you now. Ben writes, "I will be attending UW-Madison in the fall with an intended major of actuarial science. I hope to stay physically active and play some level of soccer. I think the most important lesson I will be taking from the fellowship is that I need to take time to focus on my emotional and spiritual life. I expect life to become chaotic and busy from time to time, and I will make sure to focus on setting aside time for self-growth and relaxation. I don't feel inherently spiritual, and I know it will take some dedication to develop those skills. When it is necessary, I will come back to it and maybe learn something new about the world or about myself." Thank you, Ben.
Hi, my name is Lily Chudikoff. I graduated from Appleton North High School in May, and in the fall I will be attending Eckerd College in St. Petersburg, Florida, to study biochemistry. Last year, I shared my credo with you all after completing the Coming of Age program. In essence, my beliefs are pretty similar, but my faith has deepened tremendously in the past year, especially over the past few months of quarantine. In my credo, I talked about my belief in God. This belief has really helped me to get through the past few months of tremendous change. I've had time to really explore my faith and spirituality and found God in Jesus. Having him in my life and being able to read his story has been such a comfort to me. I feel like I finally found what I truly believe in, a God that is tolerant, loving, and accepting. Knowing that he is always with me and working through me helps dull my fears of the unknown. Who knows what my college experience will be like? I know that God knows and that he will always guide me in the difficult times. At this point, I'm not sure anymore if Unitarian Universalism is something that's right for me. Growing up as a UU was such a wonderful experience that shaped me into who I am today. I was taught how to love all, be respectful of all people, and how to work in social justice. That is still a huge part of who I am today. I just feel that my religious beliefs don't really match with Unitarian Universalism anymore. And in college, I'll be exploring different religions and seeing where I feel I fit best. This has been a time of lots of changes, but I know that the support I have had from the fellowship throughout my entire childhood and adolescence is something pretty amazing. There are so many people here who I care for and think the world of. Who knows? Maybe I'll feel like I fit best in the UU congregation in St. Petersburg. I know that I will always think of the fellowship as my childhood spiritual home, and that won't ever change. Thank you.
Our reading this morning is by the Unitarian Universalist minister, Reverend William Rice, adapted from his 1969 Flower Sunday prayer. He writes, "On a day such as this, may a great change come upon us. The sounds we have been hearing have been discordant. The sights we have been seeing have been violent. The words we have been reading have been hateful. All this has been wearying, discouraging, and distracting. In our hearts, we had a dream of love, and in our minds, we had a pattern of community, but this has been a sorry season of discontent, most difficult for visions. Today is a new day, truly an hour for hope and joy and gladness. Let us be thankful for the persistence of flowers and open ourselves to their long wisdom. Often they grow in spite of terrible winters and miserable summers. Strange beauty greets us in unexpected places, as if there is a particular grace that is stronger than our carelessness and indifference. But when we tend our gardens with love and care, the reward can be greater than the effort. Amen. Flower communion is one of the most widely celebrated rituals in Unitarian Universalism, and it is typically a day of joy, honoring the power of community and the gifts we share. Today feels more somber, though, we've already noted, but we still recognize the power of this day and of this celebration. The flower communion or the flower celebration might have had earlier roots, but the version of flower communion that we know today was begun by the Unitarian minister Norbert Čapek and his wife Maya, who served the large Unitarian congregation in Prague, Czechoslovakia during World War II. So Norbert Čapek and his wife Maya served the largest Unitarian congregation at the time in the world in Prague, Czechoslovakia during World War II. This uniquely Unitarian ritual invites everyone to be present together and to bring a flower to the table. And usually we are gathered in person to bring these beautiful flowers together as a vibrant bouquet, symbolic of the community of lives whose experiences, beliefs, and gifts come together in ways that are truly more beautiful than when we are apart. But as you might expect, Čapek's celebration of diversity was not accepted by the Nazi regime of their time. Čapek refused to be quiet, refused to stop working toward a world where the lives of all people, not just a select few, were valued for their inherent worth and dignity. And for his teaching, his preaching, and his action, but specifically for the crime of listening to a foreign radio station, Čapek was imprisoned. Čapek was imprisoned at a concentration camp called Dachau. The legend surrounding Čapek says that even as a prisoner, he and the others secretly celebrated the flower celebration using little grasses. He died as a prisoner, but the hope and the message of Čapek lives on in us today. We seek the courage to continue to proclaim his message loudly and clearly, in the face of a world that continually fails to recognize the power of diversity, the strength in difference, and the gift of community. When we celebrate flower communion, we bring the gift of our flower freely, just as we come to this community freely, bringing the gifts that we have to offer. And when we are able to celebrate in person, we share the flowers. We each come and we receive a flower to take home, a different flower than the one that we brought. We are unable to do that ritual this morning, and nothing makes me sadder than the fact that we can't do this ritual this morning. But we acknowledge the ways that this ritual is only symbolic. It's symbolic of the truth that has continued to be made real, even though we are at a physical distance. It is symbolic of the truth that we are not the same when we depart from this community as when we arrive. We seek to continually remain open to the lessons that we receive from each other, to be changed by the presence of our community, to hear the experiences that are different from our own, to challenge our own biases, to examine our beliefs, and to deepen our commitments. Like the flowers that grow after a terrible winter or in harsh conditions or through the cracks in the sidewalk, may we bloom wherever we are planted, nourished by the soil of our faith, and be willing to share ourselves with the world. May it be so. And amen.